Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is the most important thing, not only in the world, but in the whole universe. I created the Love to You All podcast as a platform to offer the wisdom and inspiration necessary for us to create a world where love is the guiding force. Together, we can release the protective barriers that keep us from giving, receiving, and fully embodying love. Join me and my guests as we explore the many ways to be the love for a world longing for change, peace, and hope. I believe it's my soul's mission to inspire the courage you need to be the most loving frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. I'm so glad you're here because we have got a world to change. Hello and welcome to Love to You All. I'm Catherine Galligan, your host, and I'm excited to introduce my very first guest on the show, Megan Sulito. So, and Megan is someone that I've known since 2020. She entered my life at the end of that really pivotal year, as I know you all know, by hosting a workshop at the yoga studio that I owned at the time. And that workshop was called Live Your Magic. And so hopefully that title gives you a little indication of what Megan is like. And I have to say, ever since Live Your Magic, I've been pretty obsessed with her, you know, ever since. And no, I'm kidding. That would be unhealthy. But in all seriousness, she's played a pretty big role in what I would call my expansion. And I know I'm not the only one. Megan calls herself a facilitator of transformation. And we actually get into what she does during our conversation. So you'll have to keep listening. But in a nutshell, she works with people one-on-one. She does like fun group workshops and masterminds. She's a public speaker. And so when we were having a conversation the other day about something totally unrelated to this podcast, she told me that she had personally been doing some work to open her heart. And I was like, what? That is perfect for the intention of this show that I'm creating. And you have to be a guest. And so luckily she obliged and here we are. And in my opinion, she definitely delivered. So without further ado, welcome to my conversation with Megan Sulito. She is a change maker, an international speaker, author, workshop leader, and the secret ingredient for success for many influencers and self-made millionaires. How about that? Welcome to Love to You All.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. I love this topic.
Well, I'm so glad. And thank you for joining me. I've been really looking forward to having you here. And so this podcast, this Love to You All business, we talk about love a little bit, you know, Megan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like to tell people this just from the get-go, you know, not necessarily talking about the fluffy love per se, mm-hmm. But what I'm really going for here, why I created this whole thing, is I think if we can access this frequency within ourselves more often, you know, or as often as possible, and become that frequency, become the frequency of love itself, we've actually mm-hmm. got a shot at world peace in this lifetime. That's what I'm going for. And so on that note, Do you think that world peace is possible in this lifetime?
Okay.
I
do think it's possible. I think the one thing that we don't really have control over is timing on things. I do feel like we're on our way there. Yeah. And I feel like it's a worthy quest to hold the space mm-hmm. of that possibility. However much progress we make in our lifetime right now, and you know, I believe in miracles. And so I believe it could happen in my lifetime, but not from like an attachment place. And I know that it's important to hold this higher frequency, especially mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And as we're kind of coming through the transition and the awakening, I think it's probably one of the most important vital things we could be doing for so many reasons I'm sure we'll get into here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm okay either way, if it happens in my lifetime or not, but I'm going to hold the space of that possibility.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that. I didn't. It does break my heart when people are like, no. You know, it's like the cynical, like, hard no, you know? Mm-hmm. So when you say people awakening, you know, and that where you say it, we, how, what do you mean by that?
I think that, you know, if you look at your own personal journey, if you're listening to a podcast like this, you probably had a moment of awakening. Mm-hmm. You probably have been through something where you were kind of running around unconscious, and then you went through some experience and you went, wait, mm-hmm. there is so much other things going on. And like there's this sort of place where you become conscious of these things you've been unconscious of. Mm-hmm. And through that process, you continue to gain consciousness. You continue to metabolize that which is not conscious in you. So like, you know, I think when I was young, I was like acting out a lot. Like I was in a lot of pain, but I didn't know I was in pain. I didn't know that, you know, I was, you know, riding on tops of cars while doing lines of cocaine, drinking whiskey was like mm-hmm. me running away from pain. It was an unconscious way that I was trying to process. Mm-hmm. And when I started to awaken or sort of see, oh, this pain has a purpose mm-hmm. and I need to go through it to see who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an opening and a consciousness, and it's like, oh, that was acting out. I didn't even know that was acting out. I just thought I was having fun. Now I did have a good time. Like,
oh, but, sure. Yeah. That's a great visual.
I mean, I was the life of the party, and mm-hmm. there was a lot of heaviness, a lot of depression that I didn't realize that I was self-medicating. So I think we all go through something where, and I would say weekly, I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then I became, then when you become conscious of it is when you have a chance to choose something more and something greater. And so when I say we and awakening, I mean people becoming conscious that there's something more,
mm-hmm.
that there is a spiritual essence, mm-hmm. there's a oneness, that mm-hmm. that we all are connected, and that we can bring love and kindness and gratitude. We don't mm-hmm. have to fight with each other, because that's all unconsciousness acting itself out on the grand stage. And never so much as right now, I would say, right? And mm-hmm. and the way that I see it is like it's the last thrashing of unconsciousness. It's unconsciousness and anti-consciousness like having their last go at it, you know, because we are changing. We are progressing. We are waking up to who we really are.
And so when you say we, you mean just humanity in general, humans on planet Earth are waking up and realizing there's another way.
Yeah. I mean, 30 years ago when I first started doing Rapid Eye, I did a class called Life Skills, and I was teaching about thought and perception and choice and accountability. And,
mm-hmm.
and like, there was nothing like that out there. Nothing. Yeah. Like I was the best thing going on a Tuesday night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody thought I was so weird for doing this weird healing stuff. And, you know, and now it's like, if you throw a nickel, you're going to hit a life coach. Like that's a good example of the awakening that's happening. This thing that I saw, like, oh my gosh, this opens people up. This opens us up to our, we get to be more. Like, I was so excited, and everybody thought I was freaking nuts. But now it's like everywhere. And that's what I mean by the awakening. It's happening. Like we're on mass here, which is, I think, why the unconsciousness has to also rise. We have to see what we still need to heal.
In your opinion, what's the main thing that needs to heal?
Fear. Because everything sort of comes from that, like separation, bigotry, war, like, and if you want to kind of even drill it down a little bit deeper, it's lack.
Yeah.
I think that's why abundance consciousness is so important. It's not so you can have a Lamborghini, although that's really fun and I love sports cars, but abundance consciousness is because lack thinking creates divisiveness and wars and illness, and everything that you don't like probably in the world is coming from lack.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be. Why do you think now? Why now? And at this stage of humanity and the whole timeline?
Well, I think we've had the Renaissance, which where art and creativity and all of that came to the fore. And then we had the Industrial Revolution. I just think it was time for the consciousness revolution. Like on a really practical level, mm-hmm. I was raised by my grandma. She was mm-hmm. born in 1913.
Okay.
And until I would say when I came on the scene, she just switched over from those roller washers, clothes through.
Yes.
Most people don't know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
And I think that, family systems 150 years ago, they didn't have time to look at their feelings or get conscious. They were working 18 hours a day just to mm-hmm. put clothes and food on the table and everything else. So automation has been part of what's preceded, because we find ourselves with more free time than any of our ancestors. So we have time to get conscious. We have time to look at our dirty laundry, so to speak,
that we don't have to roll through a roller anymore.
We don't have to roll through the roller. I just think it's now's the time. It's just evolved. The different movements brought us to a place where we could look inside. I think about, relationship work, and speaking of love, I have worked with couples for 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. 25 years. And I always tell them to be patient, because I'm like, there's nobody in your family line that had a conscious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They were just mm-hmm. surviving.
Yeah.
They were just, even if it started in love, which most didn't, so this idea of conscious loving.
I know. Yeah.
Right? It's crazy. But we're the first generation to start exploring this kind of stuff. I also think it's just we've been in our cerebral cortex now long enough to it starts to tap different parts. Because, 30,000 years ago, people lived from their hindbrain.
Mm-hmm.
And so and what I mean by that's fight or flight,
right.
Amygdala, kill or be killed, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then there was this evolution to the forebrain. And there's a lot of theories about that. A lot of theories suggest that people started eating these plants, that plant medicine that started evolving the frontal brain more. And so I just think we've had enough time in our frontal cortex that it started to fire more and differently. It started to things like love have become very important, and inspiration and creativity. And even 100 years ago, that was only available to the crazy geniuses out there, mm-hmm. Crazy genius is available to all of us now, which is really awesome.
Yeah. Well, it is. But I do think about the masses, if we all awaken to our crazy genius all at the same time, it would be crazy. Yeah. There would be a lot to manage.
The former UN president, and I'm going to screw up his name, Nag Hammerstein, I think was his name.
Mm-hmm.
He said that if everybody was doing what we loved, there'd be world peace. I used to actually have that quote on my website. So
speaking of world peace. So if everybody did
what they loved, we'd have world peace. So that's another expression of love, right? There's the love I have, the frequency, the love I share with you. And then there's the love for what I'm bringing forth. There's the love for what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, I've heard you talk about this, when it comes to, I think that the first time I heard you talk about it, it was in the context of finding clarity for yourself, or a sense of direction or a sense of purpose, so that you felt like you were leading, you were kind of filling your heart's desire And for the person who wasn't clear about what that was, to go do something that made them happy, even if it was tap dancing. Mm-hmm. And so might have nothing to do with their financial goals or their career ambitions, but if they just tap danced, it would put them in the frequency, but let's call it authenticity, a frequency of authenticity, because that's sort of like, it's true to who they are. And it makes mm-hmm. them like lit up inside. It turns their light way up. Mm-hmm. And so might seem completely counterintuitive or counterproductive, but it's actually a much, it's like a cheat code or a hack to getting mm-hmm. to where you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but there was a girl in one of my genius classes, because I wrote a book called The Power of Living Genius, like way before it was popular, about 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was teaching classes on, you know, how to find that within yourself, that thing that lights you up, that thing that, you know, you're here to do. And when I say the thing, it probably involves thousands of things, thousands of different energies and things like that. But it generally tends to express itself in a particular way, you know? And anyway, so one of the questions that I ask people is, what did you love to do as a child?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's the natural genius sparking through, right? Coming through. And there's a less of an editorial staff. A lot of adults won't let them think about what they love mm-hmm. because that's frivolous and all that, right? But mm-hmm. they can go back to childhood and go, well, what did I love to do? And this girl raises her hand because I had them doing some activities to look at that. And she goes, I just like to climb poles. What the hell am I supposed to do with that? You know?
Yeah.
And I said, go climb a pole, see what happens. Mm-hmm. She goes, really? And I'm like, yeah. Like, in fact, I'd like you to climb a pole 3 times this week and get back with me, because I was teaching weekly classes at the time. And she was like, she comes back and she's all lit up. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I signed up for pole dancing. And like all these other things sort of came from that.
Yeah.
And then she did a pole dancing competition, like won like a Mountain West competition, Intermountain West competition. And then she moved to LA to further that career. She sees an ad for Barnum and Bailey Circus for the Cannon Girl, which is one of the top 3 positions in the circus, and she gets it. So here's this girl in class going, what are you going to do with climbing a pole?
Yeah, and here's a head scratcher.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she's in the circus like a year and a half later. And yeah. It's like, blows my mind. What happens? The reason I tell that story is like, when you follow the energy, that light, anything that lights you up, and especially if it doesn't make any sense,
then you're on the right path. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what did you like to do as a child?
You know, the funniest, like, it's interesting that I don't remember a lot of my childhood, but one of the things that I really remember was I would climb trees as high as I could mm-hmm. to see, so I could talk to God. I grew up in religion, in a very structured religion, fundamentalist religion. And it kind of, like, I kind of didn't like how God was being presented. Like, mm-hmm. I'm literally, like, 5 years old, up in the tree, 6 years old, going, okay. Like, well, who's your God? And who's their God? And, like being in this, I was just so curious about the universe mm-hmm. from the time I was a little kid.
But I know a lot about you. And so... No, I take that back. I know it, probably this much, you know, mm-hmm. just a little bit. But I do know about this kind of interest that you have of understanding how things are working, like even on a quantum level down to like, right? Mm-hmm. A broken down kind of reductionist, you know, what's this whole crazy thing called life and what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So can you tell it just in a nutshell, tell the audience like what you do and how you got there.
Mm.
Those climbing trees is how it started.
You know, I think of myself as a transformational guide or transformational agent. I think I do something very different than what life coaches do or transformational coaches even. I go really deep into the soul of somebody. And we just play around with the molecules until we find the gold and let that come up, you know? I do that. I mean, I've been doing this kind of work for about 30 years. I'm trained in everything that you can imagine. Like, I have so many different modalities, but I think part of why I'm just really curious, and when I find something that's useful or works, or maybe one modality did this but not this, so I'd go like, okay, I need something that does this, and then it all kind of weaves together. But I love that I did it that way, because I find that every single person, transformation means something different to them. And how they transform is unique to them. How they grow, how they awaken is very unique to each person. And I very much don't like the cookie cutter systems out right now, because what it does is it, like, about 7 to 10% of the people that sign up for stuff like that fits their way of learning. And so that's the testimonials you see out there, right? But what happens is about 90-ish percent feel like, oh, they go deeper into, I must be broken because that didn't work, and it worked for them. And it was just like not their way. It's not their way to move and to process. And so I really love helping people find the map to themselves, to just a few little pointers. Hey, have you thought to look here? Well, you might experience it better if you did it this way, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm a guide. I work one-on-one to help people like create and launch and find what they love and to get the guck out of the way along the way, because we got to do that, because as soon as you rise, you know, all ships rise with the tide. So, you know, you rise up, so's your shite sometimes. So that gets to be part of it. And so I love live working live and workshops and speaking, and written a couple books, and, you know, I'm on the path of transformation and really helping people become who they're meant to be, because I really believe that quote that I gave you. I know, I have seen it. I've seen people come in like so messed up. They can't freaking tie their shoelaces, and you help them find who they are, what they love, what they're good at. And you just kind of nudge them into the river. It's like a stick that's stuck on the side. You just nudge it into the river. Once it's in the river, it goes, poof, you know, and their whole lives change. Their whole lives change.
Yeah. Would you say, in working with people and helping them have that transformation, do we have multiple transformations over the course of our lives? Do we have one big one? Do you feel like, when were you aware that you had a really big one? And tell me why. Why do you do this for people? Why do you care?
Well, here's the thing. It's a bit selfish. So I'll just between you and me.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's just between listening. Us. Between us. Yeah. I find that almost every thing I facilitate or every coaching session is for me. Like, if I'm actually being present, I'm coaching me through them, because we're all connected, back to what I said earlier. And people who are attracted to me are oftentimes on like going through similar things. And sometimes I'm like maybe 10 minutes ahead of where they are, and I can open that next door and point them down that next hallway. But I believe that I'm getting sort of what I call downloads or like shifts in consciousness, like on the daily. I think we've just started to tap consciousness, really. And that's kind of fun, right? Because then I'm like uncovering something, opening to something like really a lot. It's really fun. And I don't look at it as initially I was like, I got to heal myself.
Right.
I'm all kind of broke up. You know, I got to heal myself. And now I just look at it more as an adventure of like uncovering more of me, more of my capacities and more of who I actually am. And it's just fun.
It is fun. Mm-hmm. When you treat it like it, like that, a game like that in a way. Mm-hmm. I too was approaching it like, oh, well, there's something wrong with me, so let's fix it. And it's like, okay, that fine. We could look at it that way, but that's a little downer, you know? And I, now it's almost like, well, what else is possible? And what else is possible? Like, of course there's more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so what do you feel like is next for you? Like what in your journey, I've heard you talk a little bit about, you know, you've recently done some heart work. Like what got you to that place? And what do you mean by that actually?
Well, I would say that I've had different iterations of it. When I very first started Rapid Eye, mm-hmm. I had a heart opening for sure. And like, because I had been living in my head like really strong.
Okay, stop right there. What do you mean by heart opening? Like what did it feel like something physically? What happened? If you don't mind my asking, Megan.
Well, in back in the day when we would go through Rapid Eye training, we'd be there for like 2 weeks and we'd be doing sessions on each other 10, mm-hmm. 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
So we were moving all of this energy. We're clearing all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And the founder of Rapid Eye, Renee Johnson, was she was so ahead of her time. Like mm-hmm. all this stuff that she was given in a vision has all been proved by science. And she was told it would be proved by science.
Yeah.
Like I got the stuff that the new neuroplasticity, I was learning 30 years ago from her, how the brain worked, you know?
Yeah.
But what she did was she infused love throughout the whole training because she knew that if, as Rapid Eye Techs, is if we couldn't hold a space of love, we couldn't help people heal.
Right.
Even as powerful as Rapid Eye is, she knew that. And so we would go through these processes where they would play this like really like big love kind of music and we would be blindfolded and people would come around and like touch us with love. And like, oh my gosh, I was like,
mm-hmm.
like I just started like cracking open. You know,
yeah,
that's probably not the most intense one, but there were a lot where it's like, do you know that you're love, like somebody in your face, like beaming love at you, like, no, you know,
yeah, it's like then, the light, it's too blinding,
yeah. So, and that was the first time I was 30, and that was the first time that I'd been in like allowed my feelings through in front of another person since I was really a child, and it was one of the scariest moments ever to stand up and start to speak and have the waterworks come out.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. And so then I think I kind of, you know, I had some experiences after that of like literally like feeling how intensely I actually love this earth and like every blade of grass and every person. And it was so big that I kind of mm-hmm. didn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And I would come up to people and I'd like, oh my gosh, you're so amazing. And they'd be like, who are you, weird lady? You know? And like,
yeah. What do you want from me?
Yeah. And then I went through some hard knocks and went through some big struggles, like relationship wise and big losses, and I mm-hmm. somehow my system went back into protection mode again. So I found myself about a year ago going, I think I'm kind of numbed out. I don't even feel my heart anymore. And so it just felt important to open it back up, to listen, to be able to hear it, to be able, because I was like, I just realized I was just really up in my head. And part mm-hmm. of it was I'd gone through a lot of traumatic experiences and I was really dysregulated. And when what a lot of people don't talk in the nervous system work is they don't talk a lot about the heart, But what happens is we get dissociative. And what that means is I'm up here in space or in my head. It means I'm not in my body. It means I'm disconnected from my heart. Mm-hmm. And I had done all this nervous system regulation work because I realized that even though I'd worked through so much trauma, working through your trauma is not the same as regulating your nervous system. You have to do both.
Okay.
And I had never done the nervous system work. It had never been part of my world. And it had never really been in the world until the last few years. So I started doing that work, which actually was what actually made me aware that, wow, I'm kind of blocked. I'm kind of numb. And I know what it's like to live from my heart. So I was like, I don't like this place.
Like, yeah, you might find yourself back on the car with a line of cocaine.
I know, right?
Things are on fire. Yeah, totally.
Right? So, so I've just been like, I would say that initially in that rapid eye training 30 years ago, actually this year, that I found myself an environment that was really supportive of that, that was really, its intention was to do that. And when I set out to do it for myself, it was different. It took a lot longer. And I had to find some hacks to get back in there. Cause I was really good. And a lot of us do, like a lot of us who grew up with a lot of trauma, we really learned some pretty powerful protections.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we did. And so it's the awareness, right? It's you're lucky that you had a sense of awareness of like, oh, wow, I feel numb here. I mean, some people don't even have any idea that they haven't, that there's a wall or they're numbing out or, you know, they're just kind of, that maybe they're not quite awake yet, I guess. But
yeah.
Yeah. So, you've had this, you got on this path. Was it sort of driven by your childhood and things like that to learn about rapid eye and whatnot? I mean, is that what drove you to this field of work?
Totally. When I first went in, had my first rapid eye session, I was so not functioning in the world. Yeah. I was so not doing well. And I was seriously considering like taking the train out of here, you know, if this is life, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And it changed things so quickly that it kind of blew my mind. Like it was like so fast how it helped me shift and heal and lighten and my facilitator was like, you know, I think you'd be good at this. And I'd be like, I don't think so. But, you know, she saw something in me. She saw a spark of that genius we were talking about earlier and really kind of supported me to go into training. But I still went in resistantly because I went in because I was going to market for them and I had to go through the training because in my head, I wasn't going to do that weird stuff for a living, right?
Right.
And, you know, within about a day, I realized that I was there for me and not for that. But the universe tricked me, I guess, I'd like to say, oh, I saw this thing and I followed it. No, the universe tricked me and here I am.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got tricked. How about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This episode is brought to you by my brand new online membership for women called Emerge. Inspired by the Year of the Snake, Emerge is a very special container for women ready to become not only bigger, expanded versions of themselves, but also the highest frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. If you're ready to live a little bit more out loud and step into your power, Emerge is for you. It is a year-long commitment where every month, like-minded women gather together to become even more powerful. It includes a masterclass, lots of learning, and lots of support. I'm your mentor, and I cannot wait to get started because we're going to have an incredible year together. You can find more information to register linked in the show notes. Until then, I can't wait to see you become part of Emerge. So can you talk a little bit more about the difference between healing trauma and the and nervous system work. As I think maybe people don't really know the difference. Or yeah. They think they only need to do the one.
Yeah. And that's, you know, initially with Rapid Eye, it just moved so much of the trauma out of the way that I could see straight. The way that I would say it is like I was driving a car that had a muddy windshield.
Yep.
And I was like, why is it so hard to drive? Why do I keep crashing into things? Well, it's because I couldn't freaking see through my trauma. And with Rapid Eye, it really clears trauma very quickly. And so the windshield got clean and I was like, oh, sunlight, you know? And it's I would say that the wiring of the car, like it's that trauma affects that. And if you've got faulty wiring, you can see clearly out the window, but it's sputtery, right?
Yep.
And, you know, truthfully, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing because I've been doing this work so long, but I really think that I have, even though I did all that healing, that I have basically been dysregulated since the womb. And so when I started the nervous system work, I was like, what's this? Holy cow.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize I was so good. I have so many tools. So I was really good at taking a reaction and figuring out how to get out of it and how to function again. But what I didn't understand is that I was reacting so much because my nervous system was hijacked.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
And so by doing the work to regulate and develop resiliency, and that's the thing that I've been doing a lot in my work is I'm doing regulation work, but I'm going into resiliency and really developing what I would call a robust nervous system. Because what in the end of the day, this thing we love, this genius that we are, this magic that we are, it's high frequency. And like our nervous systems have to be able to handle that frequency. So it's like we have to regulate, but we have to build it up to where we can sustain higher levels of energy for longer periods of time.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because it kind of took me back into trauma work for a while, even though I'd been more coaching and doing less trauma work in the last 20 years. But it's what I realize is that if we're really going to rise, we have to be able to run higher energy through our bodies more consistently. And if the nervous system's jacked, you can't do that. You'll just be in, people might recognize sort of boom and bust cycles in their life where they go, wee, and they'll crash. That's a nervous system issue. Your nervous system can't sustain that high vibe.
Yeah. So vibration, frequency, energy, like, You know, earlier we were talking about the masses are waking up. Well, they are because they're using this language, right? Like I'm hearing that word, it gets thrown around almost as much as I hear the word amazing. But no, like people seem to, they're latching on to this concept. And so, you know, for us to be ready, and for, if I really want world peace in this world, you know, and if that's really what I'm going for, I've had to ask myself, well, what am I really going for? is that what I want? What I want is for us is to be that frequency that you're talking about and be able to hold that frequency, because there's something so much, like you were saying, things are just going to keep revealing themselves to you of like where you're going from here and where you're going from here. And it's like, don't you want to have the right circuitry for that? Don't you want to have built the correct house for that, if you will?
Right. Well, yeah. It's like if you think about running the electricity high Wi-Fi stuff through a house that was wired in the 1930s, it would short circuit it. And that's what's, I think, been happening a lot in the personal growth and development movement is people go do these really expansive workshops or medicine journeys, but their nervous systems cannot handle the frequency they've been opened up to. And so they come back and they get really frustrated because that good feeling is not there anymore. In fact, they feel worse than they did before. And it's if the nervous system work has to happen so we can sustain the growth we're making, so we can sustain the frequencies and the consciousness we're making, that those we can't hold those frequencies for long periods of time in dysregulation. And that was true for me. Like I would facilitate this 4-day workshop or 5-day mm-hmm. workshop, and I would feel like amazing. And 2 days later, I'd be like, tits up, man. Like so tired and like wiped out. And like, because I was running such a high frequency through my body that my body wasn't used to running.
Yeah. That similarly, that was happening to me at the beach house, having these retreats at the beach house. You know, they were pretty high vibe, you know, but then I'd crash after the person left. And I'm like, I can't, mm-hmm. I don't think I'm cut out for this. Well, probably not true. Like, you know, I am cut mm-hmm. out for it. My nervous system wasn't where I needed it to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about that so much in yoga. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Iyengar, this kind of mm-hmm. a famous yogi. Yeah, but, you know, when people were really into Kundalini yoga and having these Kundalini awakenings, mm-hmm. their circuitry wasn't prepared for what was happening to them. And so they'd have this sort of almost like psychotic episodes, you know, like they couldn't handle it. And so they'd find themselves in such emotional dysregulation that they, you know, still have to go about their everyday lives and show up for work, but they're crying all day, or they, you know, they just can't quite get it together. And that is sort of why yoga is, it's like this path, if you will. And you start with your physical body, and then you move on to like your breath and how that impacts your nervous system. And then you're a little bit more prepared for the emotional healing and meditation and being able to hold that space. And, you know, and then you just keep graduating up to more stage, like closer toward enlightenment, you know? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so it sounds quite similar to what you're talking about, but it's in probably more popular terms. Not everybody's into yoga, you know. Mm-hmm. They really don't care. And you know, they're still treating yoga like exercise class or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Enough about that though. And so like once, let's say that somebody's they've done some healing work and they've addressed traumas and things like this. And now they're in the know about nervous system regulation. And so they've done this. What's next then? And so talk to me about that.
Well, the first thing I want to say is it's not linear like that. Like for some people, they might do the one thing first. Like for me, I did all this trauma work and then 28 years later did my nervous system, right?
Because right.
We kind of get what we need when we need it. So it's a little bit different for everybody. But I do feel like really looking at what do I love? What mm-hmm. is it that when I do it that I light up or that I lose time? Mm-hmm. Like what turns me on? Where does my mind go when I've got nothing to do? What am I generally thinking about? Like really finding the areas that are meaty and juicy for you and diving in, mm-hmm. developing your skills and your capabilities to be able to live in that place more. And so for me, like I believe that if we could live in our genius mm-hmm. 90% of the day,
The day,
90% of the time that you're in some form of that high vibe energy, that you're doing work that you love, you're connecting with people that you love, you're serving in the way that you love, like mm-hmm. playing in the way that you love, exploring in the way that you love. The more of the day that you can do that, the more you start living in this higher space. I think it's really like, I think that the map has been confused with the territory in personal growth and development. And what I mean by that is like,
okay,
you got to eat like this. You got to meditate this much. You got to do this much breath work. So they're actually replicating a do to get form of awakening. You can't force awakening. Oh, you're going to wake up once your time to wake up. Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Those kinds of practices, I think, are really good for our nervous systems. Like, that's actually why I do those kind of practices. But it doesn't get you conscious faster. necessarily, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think that really following the breadcrumbs of what lights you up, that's the path to awakening. Because that will show you where you need to go and what you need to clear or what you need to let go of.
Yes.
Because every one of those sort of steps that you take where you go, ooh, I really like that. Ooh, I really want to do that. And then all the unconscious stuff comes up. That's that's going to give you the juice. You just keep going forever, finding out, ooh, what do I love now? What do I love now? You know, and keep following that. This idea that, you know, we're here to suffer or struggle, I think it's a really, that's part of the lack consciousness. That's part of the old regime. That's not where it's at. It, to me, I think it's time to get into frequency, into flow, to the way that I think, I don't even think about it as service. I'm like, one of the questions that I ask in the morning is, who or what can I pour love into?
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Who or what can I pour love into? Do you tell people you love them?
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I do.
And so that puts you on a frequency and like, okay, there's, you know, how am I showing up here?
Yeah.
And so maybe not so mired in Megan, but kind of like there's something much bigger.
Yeah, totally. So as we do our healing work, as we get our nervous system tuned up, right, then we're a vehicle to flow more light. We're a vehicle that can flow more consciousness and more energy. And I think that's how we wake up.
You know, you did just build a really good case for the year of the snake about this.
Tell me.
Well, you know, yeah. Well, the snake is releasing patterns or releasing who he isn't, who he's not. Mm-hmm. And he's growing and expanding, and he's very authentic, the snake is. Mm-hmm. And so this, you know, I heard a spiritual teacher once say that to be more spiritual, you just have to be yourself.
Yeah.
And so forget about all this, you know, meditation and whatever people do, cold plunges and stuff like this. Like, it doesn't matter. Just be yourself. And so and I actually think the energy of the lunar calendar that we're in right now, which is the year of the snake, which, you know, I know you know a little bit about, right? And it's supporting it. Like, I for some reason, I feel strongly that, like, this is the year that, yeah, a lot of people have woken up, but I think it's about to, there might be sort of a quantum jump in the numbers that do, because the energy just, you know, in the air, if you will, or like in the cosmos is supporting this to happen for us if we choose it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And if we fight it, it could get kind of messy, you know?
A little ugly. Yeah. Well, and there will be that, right?
Yeah, totally. But I think that's why more than ever, that we need to ground in the heart, because there's so much thrashing right now. And that's always been like before, and something evolves, there's sort of a breaking down. And for whatever reason, that's kind of how it works on planet Earth, you know? And so I see this thrashing. And for somebody who's sensitive or more conscious in nature, it could feel like really overwhelming. And if you're in your head and you're looking at it, it's like almost unbelievable what's happening. But if you come into the heart, because the heart knows the future, right? You ground your thinking in love, you ground your thinking in your literal heart space. Like, something that people can do is just put their hand on their heart and breathe into it for 3 minutes. It's a heart math technique. And it builds brain heart coherence. So it allows your brain and heart to talk, right?
Yeah.
And if you're grounded in love, and when I say love, I don't really mean this reality's version of love. Like, I love you and you love me and that's awesome. And we have romantic love and we love our puppies and that's beautiful. All of that's beautiful. But I feel like there is this frequency called love. And it's not personal. It's not a personal thing. It just is an energy. It's a flow. And when we get connected to that, mm-hmm. when I get connected to that, I go, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
It's all going to be all right. I don't have to thrash with the masses, you know?
Yeah.
I can be aware. Like, I'm not, in the past, I might have put my head in the sand.
Sure.
You know, and like, I don't want to deal with that.
I don't want to deal with whatever's going on in the news.
But it's like, I can be aware. Like, I oftentimes ask, you know, let me be aware of what's important. If I mm-hmm. need to make a shift, if I need to make some different choices, if I need to help humanity in a different way, like, mm-hmm. let me know. But I feel like the most important thing that I can do is be love, because love is the antidote to hate. Consciousness is the antidote to anti-consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things, because like, if I remove myself too much, then mm-hmm. my frequency isn't touching what it needs to touch.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
But if I get too involved, then my frequency goes down there.
Yeah.
Right?
I understand.
And
yeah.
So I understand more now, because for mm-hmm. a while I'm like, you know, those monks and yogis were kind of chicken shit. You know, like, I'd like to see how conscious they'd be if, you know, they come out of meditating for 12 hours and their wife's screaming at them and the baby's crying and they never right. had to deal with any of that. They could just right. go off in the mountains and whatever. But I'm actually understanding that more recently, because it's like, sometimes, like right now, I kind of want to do that. I want to get my frequency strong enough that I can walk out into the world and maintain it or even grow it in the face of everything that's happening, right? And have it not pull me out. And so we have to have a sense of the strength of our energy, our frequency, be grounded in the heart. Then mm-hmm. we can make a difference in the world. Then we can
yeah.
shine that out. But, you know, this crap that's going on Facebook and social media where everybody's fighting, that's what they want. That's what anti-conscious wants, is for us to fight. And that's not gonna do anything. We've got to actually get in the frequency of who we actually are. Be right. us, right?
Yeah.
And be in that flow and then go out and shine that. But if you're not, like, recently, I can't remember, it was with a client. They were like, yeah, I'm going to have to go and tell them this instead. And I'm like, no, wait, you're not in a place to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in the frequency to do that. Get yeah. into love, get into that frequency. And then if it still feels like you need to say something, do it from that place.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good advice.
So. Where you do something from is actually, I think, more relevant than what you do.
Oh, well, I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hence the point of this whole podcast, Megan, is like teaching people like how to be that frequency.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you talked about when you work with clients, diving into people's souls. Is Akashic reading something that you do? Is that a tool that you have to do that? Or is it more just your ability to kind of see past all the facades?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People from the time I was a little kid mm-hmm. have commented they feel uncomfortable sometimes in my presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
they can't hide.
Yeah. They say that I can, that it looks like I'm looking through their soul. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is I don't, that's not cognitive, but
okay.
it's, I'm just being, I'm connecting sort of soul to soul or spirit to spirit or whatever you want to call that
mm-hmm.
in such a way that I'm aligning with a greater part of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, hey, it's time for you to come online here.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Time to get over your humanness and be in your frequency, your love frequency. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. What is your, if you had one piece of advice for people and like, you know, if they're listening to this and they're like, right on, you know, okay, I want to be the frequency of love. How do I do that? Is there, what would you tell the person who maybe need some instructions?
I would start with curiosity, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What is love? What is love to me?
Mm-hmm.
And like, actually, like I did said before, literally touch your heart. Mm-hmm. Literally go, hi, heart. Is all of our organs have a frequency too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so it's like the, I believe that the heart is a literal space of neurology that's wired for love.
Mm-hmm.
And we now know that there are more neurons in the heart than the brain.
Are there more neurons in the heart than the gut?
I don't know. But okay. I do know that it's, I do know that there's, and that most of the communication goes from heart to brain, not brain to heart. We've for so long thought the brain was the head of the show, and it's not. It's a receiver more than it is a transmitter. And so, but a lot of us have learned to survive from head. And so we're kind of operating backwards. It's why I think we're dysregulated and anxious really in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So really asking yourself what love is, what is it for you? And spending some time cultivating just like, even if you've like meditated or went on a walk and put your hand on your heart and it's like, what does my heart see? What does my heart know? And that's something that I've been doing actually a lot because there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of things changing really fast. And I've just been putting my hand on my heart and going, what does my heart know about this?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to figure it out, instead of trying to react, instead of all that. So it's like I'm slowly recentering myself to start being heart-centered rather than head-centered. I'm reorienting myself. I'm almost like gently going, no, come down here. Come down here. Right?
Yeah.
So I would say that that's, you know, that's something that I'm practicing. I do a lot of Qigong, which opens up all the meridians of the body and heart and all of that sort of thing. And that's really helpful because I had to do that to even get to the feelings. I had to open up the energy currents before I could even feel what I was feeling.
Yes.
And that's some of the work that there is to do there too, is being willing to be vulnerable. Right. But, you know, there's a, I read this article recently that was really fascinating. It was by, he's a very famous meditator. His name is Craig Hamilton. And he's sort of the guru's guru, if you will. And he wrote an article recently about love. And he said, you know, he said, a lot of conscious folk, they say they believe in love. Like it's all about the love, but they don't take a stand for love because they're looking at love as a feeling only. And if they don't feel it, then they don't access it. I'm not feeling love right now. I'm not feeling that. And he's like, taking a stand for love is knowing that it exists in every molecule of this universe. There is love, and it is always there, and it is always vibrating, and it does not care how you feel. It like, and he's saying, be a stand for that. Be a stand for love, especially when you don't feel it. And I loved that so much because I think that we do get into that. Well, if, I'm just not feeling love, therefore I can't be it. Like, no, it's not about a feeling necessarily. It's about choosing the frequency of love regardless, right?
Yeah.
And so it's being as, if you believe in love and if you think love's important, then be a stand for it and understand that it's not about like, well, I can't love this person because they did that. Now, that's conditional. That's not actually the frequency of love.
Right.
And if you think about it as sort of the generator of this reality, generator of the universe, then it's just when you say, I believe in love, you're just plugging into the generator. Like, how cool is that? Like, why wouldn't you want to do that?
Why wouldn't you want to do that?
So I've been really playing because, you know, I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of like,
sure,
I don't feel like love right now, you know?
And like, this isn't loving.
And, you know, I can also have love for my humanness too.
Yeah.
That's part of what I'm part of the unconsciousness that I'm trying to metabolize to become more awake and aware.
Exactly. We all have our own levels of unconsciousness that we're working, you know, because I don't need it to be linear, but I do want it to be progressive for me, you know?
Totally. Okay.
Well, let me just ask you, thank you for saying all this. I want to ask you this. If you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, I don't mean this in a macabre way, but if you knew, is there anything that you would do differently than what you're doing right now? Especially when it comes to love.
Wow. You know, I've been asking myself this a lot lately. I am born in the year of the snake. I am actually a wood snake.
Yeah.
The last time it was a wood snake is the year I was born. So I'm very excited about this and it being my 60th year. But because it's my 60th year, I'm having thoughts like, okay, well, you know, if I crapped out here in the next couple of years, like, how would I feel about how I played on planet Earth? And the truth is, I'd feel really good. Like, I've literally helped tens of thousands of people have happier, better lives. But I sense that I'm not quite done, and I sense that I have more to give. And I think one of the reasons I'm doing so much work around my heart is because I want to live open-hearted. I want to just be a walking little love puppet, you know, on planet me. And I'm not there. And I feel like that could be a really good gift for the planet and a really cool place of living and being. And there's also a lot of things I want to see, you know, but truly, if something happened and I died tomorrow, I'd feel pretty good about where I've gotten so far.
That's a beautiful answer. Well, I don't think I could have said it better than Megan. And I hope that she's as much of an inspiration to you as she is to me, and that maybe we follow a cue from her, a cue or two from her, and walk around trying to be the biggest love puppet. Is that what she said? Be the biggest love puppet that we possibly can just for the rest of the days that we walk on this earth, because what a beautiful thing that would be. And the other thing that she said that really touched my heart was she wakes up every morning and thinks, how can I be more love to someone? And so let's give that a shot too. What if we all try doing that? So I'll leave you with those two thoughts. Thank you so much for tuning in to Love to You All. I love having you here. And until I see you next time, just walk around being a big love puppet. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Love to You